Hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of You Can't Handle the Truth. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. This will be the non-spoiler review, so if you haven't seen it yet, do not worry, I'm not going to reveal anything major. I might have to reveal a little bit of the story, purely to get things started, okay? Because something bad happens 10 to 15 minutes into this movie. I've got no idea of the time, to be honest, because it's a 2.5 hour film, okay? That's quite long for a Marvel film. I mean, I know recently they've started getting longer and longer. Ever since Endgame was 3 hours long, the rest of the films have just thought, okay, it's a free-for-all now. We're going to have Eternals 2.5 hours, Spider-Man 2.5 hours, Black Panther, 2 hours 40-something? Like, that's crazy. So now we've got a slightly shorter one, 2.5 hours. I will say the pacing is okay. The pacing is good, to be fair. It doesn't feel like you're watching a 2.5 hour movie. That being said, it's paced very much like, due to the narrative circumstances, this is life or death, so we need to get things going and going fast, and it doesn't really let up for the entire movie. Now, I don't think anybody is going to say that's a bad thing necessarily, but coming off the back of something like Super Mario Brothers movie, that was just like a 90-minute train crash. It was way too forceful in its pacing, and I'm slightly concerned that my issues with this film, because I don't think it's perfect by any means, and I don't love it as much as everybody else is loving it, I will say that for free, but I do have a sneaky suspicion that due to the pacing and due to the fact that there's not a lot of time for this movie to breathe and for the characters to just relax, because obviously there is a time constraint, and even when it kind of diverges and goes off in flashbacks or side quests, you never feel as though they are breathing. So granted, there's no filler, okay, there's no filler in this movie whatsoever. It is all killer, it is all to do with the central plot, which is saving... Can I say what member of the team needs saving? Because I don't think it's a spoiler for me to say. Rocket is critically injured at the start of this movie, when they're all just chilling, they're on nowhere, they're at the Guardians of the Galaxy headquarters, which is now a thing. This was briefly kind of hinted at slash set up in the Guardians holiday special, but my issue is, at the start of this movie, everybody seems to be depressed, right? Everybody seems to be sad or drunk or annoyed with each other, but you go back and you watch the last thing we've seen these Guardians in, which was the holiday special. Sure, it's Christmas, everybody is supposed to be happier at Christmas, but the fact that the dynamic that was built up in that little 40-minute episode thing, whatever it was, the special, that's kind of been decimated completely. Now, I understand why this movie diverges from what was set up in Infinity War and Endgame and then Thor Love and Thunder, because we haven't seen a solo movie for the Guardians since 2017. So 6 years after the sequel, almost a decade after the first one came out as well, James Gunn has curated this entire trilogy. It's fantastic. He's done a great job. He also did the holiday special. So this is my concern. Taika Waititi did Thor Love and Thunder, the Russo brothers did the Avengers films, so each of these filmmakers are bringing a different style to these characters, and so it's understandable that James Gunn wants to retcon things that happened in those other movies, but the fact that he's gone from whatever he made in the holiday special, I haven't even seen it in full, I've just skipped through it and I know what happens, but the fact that we're going from that to this, now you might argue that it is only because Adam Warlock shows up and attacks Rocket and tries to kill the rest of the Guardians, and I like the opening to an extent. I think it's not very well made, but I think the concept of it is great, you know, the fact that you've got this ambush happening completely out of the blue after a bit of drama between Peter and Rocket, but I don't understand why, because there was the bickering in the second movie between these two characters, but if you go back and watch that, they resolve it by the end, so why? Why have you gone through a whole movie where they're hating each other to resolve it, and then at the start of this movie, oh, they don't like each other again, like, what's going on? So, I'm very confused about that. I don't think the performances are very good at the start at all. I don't think the CGI is good either, but I do like the idea, okay, so I'll give them some credit for that. Anyway, Adam Warlock fights the Guardians. He pretty much takes everybody out, which is pretty cool to see, because Adam Warlock is supposed to be, like, the perfect human, okay, he's Adam. So, I like that, but also, Will Poulter is playing him, and trust me, I like Will Poulter as an actor. I think he's funny. I think he's, you know, he's got that British charm about him, and it's hilarious to see him in interviews, and also good to see him in different movies, because you may have seen him in Wither Millers, you may have seen him in Son of Rambo or Midsommar, but now he's basically playing his character from Wither Millers, but as a ripped golden god, and he's a buffoon, okay, but it's not the funny kind of buffoon. He's a joke, he's played for a laugh, but I just didn't laugh. I think the only time I laughed was when he said, don't be rash, okay? But that's not until later in the movie, and that's just a one-line thing. So there's a very, very strange dynamic that he has in this entire movie, And personally, I don't think it works at all. What I do think works, though, is Chikuri Iwuji as the High Evolutionary, the main central villain of this film. He is an absolutely irredeemable, sadistic piece of shit, and I hated him for the entire runtime, but it is a terrific performance, and it is a very, very well-written character because you hate him with such a strong passion. Now, it's not even a competition between the rest of the villains in this trilogy because they haven't been great, let's be honest. So he is easily the best villain of the trilogy, but I would go further and say that he's one of the best villains Marvel have ever come up with, or maybe even just in general, okay, because I don't want to just limit it to Marvel. I do think the High Evolutionary, what he does in this film, the animal torture and testing, his methods, his madness, every single thing that he does just made me want to leap through the cinema screen and rip his face off. So I hated him, but I do think Chikuri Iwuji is a fantastic actor. He's very, very good in this film. I just don't like what happens. And this boils down to the root issue I have with this film. It's pretty traumatizing, okay? And it's a very, very dark film. It's a 12-rated movie, PG-13 over in the States and elsewhere. And, you know, that's typical for Marvel. They haven't gone above that yet. I'm assuming they will for the new Deadpool. And I know, you know, you could say, oh, they did it for Venom, they did it for Morbius. But that's Sony Marvel. We don't talk about that. But I think even still, this movie... Actually, now that I think about it, this movie is so much darker thematically than those movies are literally. Okay, so the imagery in those movies, like Morbius and Venom, horrendous. Okay, the cinematography is trash because it's just so dark. Like, they think, oh, it's scary because it's dark because you can barely see Venom or Morbius themselves. Whereas you look at a movie like this where the emotion through the darkness is absolutely pulsing through every single one of your senses, whether it's watching testing going on, whether it's hearing the whimpers and the cries of animals in cages, it's absolutely horrific. I hated it. I don't like seeing animals in pain. I don't like seeing animals in any other environment other than being safe, secure, whether it's a pet, whether they're running freely in a field. I don't care. I just want to see animals thrive, okay? They do say that no animals were harmed, but I'm sorry, it feels as though at times they might have been, because I know that's a false accusation, right? That's libelous, sure, but I've seen it twice now, I should mention. The first time I hated it, I cried the entire time. Second time, also cried the entire time. It's the flashback sequences, okay? When Rocket's story is being developed and you learn more about what happened to him growing up and how he was made by these scientists, that is just harrowing stuff. And the friends that he hangs out with, you've got Lila the otter, you've got Teefs the walrus, you've got Floor the rabbit, but all of them have modifications, whether it's wheels, whether it's robot arms or legs, and it's just really, really unsettling and very upsetting to me, in fact, because, like I said, maybe I am just sensitive to this and just in general, but I personally don't find any enjoyment whatsoever seeing animals in this sort of way. And so for that, if you have kids, if you're a parent listening to this, or if you have a younger brother or sister, if you know anybody younger than... Honestly, I would say younger than like 17 or 18. Like, I'm not saying this movie should be an 18 rated film, but I am saying that I would never in a million years let any child, let's say between the ages of 10 and 15 at least, I would not let them watch this film because I get that people are finding it enjoyable in terms of the dynamic of the characters and where they end up. I think, you know, it's still got that Guardians charm at times. Chris Pratt is great as Star-Lord. I think this might actually be his best portrayal of Star-Lord, especially in a couple of scenes, you'll see why. But you've also got the great banter between Drax and Mantis. Dave Bautista, once again, is fantastic. He's probably the MVP of this movie, aside from Bradley Cooper as Rocket, of course, and the villain. Okay, so maybe he's not the MVP, I don't know. I just found it quite annoying, because at the start of the movie, when Drax faces off against Adam Warlock, I was thinking, geez, this is great. Like, this is what we want to see from Drax. He's Drax the Destroyer. But then as the movie progresses, he does absolutely nothing and he just becomes Drax the Destroyer of doors. So I respect what they're doing to his character arc, because you'll be extremely satisfied by the end of this movie. The last half an hour is very, very fun. It's just the first 2 hours to get there are excruciatingly painful, and it's a very visceral feeling that I experienced during this film. So I can't recommend it because it's so f***ing sad. But then again, maybe, I don't know. Like, the amount of people saying, oh, this is one of the best Marvel films, this is great, so enjoyable. I'm like, am I watching a completely different film? Because even when I wasn't traumatized by what was going on, I was still finding issues with the directing, with the writing, with the pacing. The fact that a lot of characters are just completely forgotten about. And this movie is fairly forgettable, okay? Literally 2 minutes after a character has left the screen, you kind of forget what their names were or what they're up to, or what their plans are, their mission, whatever it may be. So when they go to this new location, this Organorg Corp or something, I don't even know anymore. They're just making up random bullshit names, and I can't remember them, and I don't like what I'm watching when we're there. So yes, it's trying to be extravagant, they're trying to go all across the galaxy again, and that's what I like about this franchise, okay? The fact that it doesn't play it safe, it takes these big risks. Some of the time they work, some of the time they don't. That's just part and parcel of filmmaking. But personally, I didn't like the fact that you went to one place to get this one thing, they realized they had to go somewhere else and get another thing, and by the end of that, when they're about to get what they set out for in the first place, I've completely forgotten what it was going to be used for, and that's the issue, because I noticed this the second time round. There's at least one sequence where it goes on for like half an hour, and one character is completely shut out. I forgot they even existed. I forgot they were in any danger whatsoever. So it's a very strange movie how for 2.5 hours, it doesn't really justify its length, because, there's only like 4 major scenes that happen, but I'll talk more about that in a spoiler review because it's pretty fascinating. So look, it's a mixed bag. I think in terms of the directing, for the most part, it's actually pretty good. There's some really great shots in this movie. I think the way that it is quite fluid in its movement as well. And there's a one-shot action sequence towards the end, which I think is one of the best action scenes in the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe so far. But it's just, why can't we have more of that? Because that is fun, right? When things like that are happening, it's one of the most fun movies of the year so far. But when it's not like that, for the other 2 hours and 25 minutes, it's just really, really painful to me. I think in terms of the writing as well, a lot of the dialogue is unnecessary exposition, because there's a couple of scenes, one of which their spacesuits get launched out into space, they put them in a decontamination hatch thing, and we see all this, and it's somewhat chuckle-worthy, but one guy was howling with laughter, I don't know why. But this happens, and then immediately after, Gamora says, "You idiot, you just put our clothes into a decontamination hatch, and now they've launched them into space." What? We've seen it! We've seen that happen! Why are we being told this information? We don't need to! Happens again later on when they go up to space at one point. Mantis is starting to freeze up, and it cuts to a wide shot of the ship leaving the atmosphere and the planet behind. And Mantis just goes, "We are entering space." We know that! We know that! We can see it! Like, why is the audience treated as if we are so dumb we cannot see what is happening? Like, a ship is leaving the atmosphere. Like, come off it! I don't know, man. It's just so weird in terms of the writing, because I know that James Gunn is a good writer. He's proven it before, time and time again, but for this one, it just seems so lazy, and I think as well, the fact that it's 2.5 hours, a lot of it could have probably been cut out, but they just left everything in as if this was an assembly cut, so scenes like that slipped through the cracks, okay, because if they actually wanted to make it a lot more concise and a little bit shorter, they should have cut those moments out 100%. Yes, you would only be saving a few seconds here and there, but it would add up, and it would feel a lot better, because it wouldn't be treating the audience like we're as dumb as Adam Warlock, okay? It's almost like Adam Warlock is representative of the audience, okay? It's so stupid. So, I didn't really like it, and I think some of the editing choices are just so baffling, okay? I get that what this film is trying to do is play with your emotions. It's trying to make you cry 1 minute, then laugh the next, then cry, then laugh, then feel excitement, then cry again maybe. But it doesn't work. It completely clashes, because you've got something very, very sad happening, followed by Drax knocking, not a human, not an animal, a furry, knocking a furry off of a motorbike just for a gag, and then it cuts back to what was happening before the sad scene. So why didn't they just go straight from that sad scene into the intimidating scene again? Because that would have generated so many more emotions. The fact that you're witnessing something sad and tragic happen, followed by something happening in the very next scene with this character, that would be a lot more tension filled, and I think so much more exciting than what actually happened in this film. So for me, the editing should have been sharper, cut a lot of scenes out, that would have been fine, keep it like 2 hours 15 minutes long, just like the second movie. But you look at the second movie, that dealt with emotion very strongly, with Yondu, with his mother, with the reveals. Everything in that movie kind of works so much better than a lot of this movie, but everybody is raving about it, and everybody's saying, oh, it's the best, and this Guardians trilogy, it's one of the best trilogies of all time. I might have to call bullshit on that, because as much as I love these characters and the first movie, and even the second one I think is very, very good in hindsight, I just have issues with this film on a fundamental aspect as well as a moral aspect, because I don't like what happens and I don't think a lot of it is necessary. So the testing sequences, they don't need to be as graphic as they are. The imagery and the shocking nature of it is really quite brutal, and you don't expect this from a PG-13 movie. There's a lot of swearing too, so James Gunn is literally saying, "F*** it, I'm going to DC, I'm going to leave Marvel with the darkest and most adult film possible. And what are they going to do about it, right? Maybe they'll hire me back, maybe they won't, because they've already fired me once." So, yeah, it's an interesting movie, and given the fact that it's been a real superhero drought at the moment, I don't think this one is actually doing as well at the box office as anticipated. It's doing about the same as the second movie, which, yeah, that's not bad. It's still a lot of money. I think it's already made triple what Shazam 2 has made just a couple of months back, but I don't know, I'm a bit tired, and I think this is a good stepping off point for Marvel fans. If they were kind of meandering after Endgame, now that the Guardians trilogy is wrapped up, maybe just leave it, because there's not really a lot to get excited for coming out soon. So, yeah, Guardians 3, let me know what you think about it. I didn't like it, to be honest. I just didn't. It was too painful to watch, and I've seen it twice, that is me done. I do not plan on watching it again anytime soon, because ain't got no tears left to cry, that's for sure. The music, I haven't even mentioned the music. I think the score is weaker because it's done by John Murphy, who works on the Suicide Squad with James Gunn, as opposed to Tyler Bates, who did the first two movies. And there's a little bit of the main theme throughout, but they can't actually use it because it's a different composer, so I don't like the score. Then the soundtrack, though, is actually very good. There's a lot of great tracks on here from Florence and the Machine, Rainbow, Alice Cooper, Faith No More, Radiohead, some great songs in there. I think they're used pretty well for the most part. There's a couple of scenes that don't really fit with the music that was chosen for it, but I don't know. I want to be nicer, and I want to give it the benefit of the doubt, because it's a smaller scale movie. It's not dealing with the world ending. It's just dealing with a madman who has done some bad things, and they want to save their friend. That's great. I like the nature of it, and I loved where it ended up, but it was just getting there. It was getting to that point I had a major issue with, so I'll talk about it more in a spoiler review, but until next time, I sometimes think I'm out of my own saying all this, but I don't care, okay? It's not something that I have to conform to, and neither should you. So if you maybe had a slither of doubt about this movie and everybody's saying, "Oh, it's so great," so you're scared to say, "Was it though?" Don't be, okay? Because I'm not. I didn't think it was great. But anyway, until next time, I've been Kieran. This has been Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. If you made it this far, thank you very much for listening and supporting. I appreciate you, and I'll speak to you later in the very next episode of You Can't Handle the Truth.